Okay.
I've had it, Rodney. Rodney was actually, he was in the Lexington church. He went through the CTS when he showed up. And he was born in Costa Rica, lived there a short while, raised on the mission field in the Dominican Republic. And he has just been a great inspiration to all of us. And I could not commend to you a young man any more than I can commend to you, Rodney. So, brother, introduce your grandfather and grandmother to us.
Well, it's good to see all of you again. It's been a while. I miss everybody from LCF, but the work's going forward at JCF as well. But I have the privilege of introducing to you my grandparents here that I've had the great privilege to spend a lot of time with over the years. My grandparents own a campground in Michigan, in Niles, and they work there all year long during the summer and spring and fall mostly. And then during the winter, about 3-4 months, they go over to the mission field and they do missions work, mainly with my parents and sometimes with other people, and they just spend their whole winter doing missions work overseas. And so when they do that, so since when, as long as I can remember, before I was born, they were coming. And so they just come and spend a couple months with our family serving and whatever we were doing in ministry. And I've learned a great deal from my grandparents and just seeing their life as an example lived out before me, just of their faithfulness to each other, their faithfulness to our family, to all of our extended family, to their friends, just the way that they've walked out life as an example for me. And I know their marriage has been a very big impact on my life and how I view what is, you know, actually possible to do in life. Because my grandparents, I would say, do far more, like, in their relationship and that than most culture would even believe possible to be done. And so they're going to share a little bit of their lives with you tonight and hopefully just be able to impart a small blessing of what they've been able to give me over the last 23 years.
Thank you, Rodney. I remember when Rodney was first conceived, we were working in Miami with his parents. Our daughter is his mother. And so we were working there with a feeding program for the Nicaraguan refugees that had fled out of Nicaragua during the Santa Anita war. But his parents had for 13 years been told by fertility clinics that there was no way they could bear children, and they endeavored to adopt several times, and it didn't work out. The mothers all, in the end, as they got their little ones, babies decided they couldn't turn them loose, and so then it was soon after that that Rodney and then Neil, his brother's 2 years older than Rodney, and then Darren, that's now just turned 17 also. So they've all been an inspiration to our lives. But I can remember Rodney being in my arm and in Costa Rica when his parents were in language school, and that was back in the middle 80s. And so anyway, Rodney's been an inspiration to us as well as their children and family. So it's been exciting to see what God's doing with young people. And I look across your group of believers here tonight and recall the good things that Rodney would report to us after he first came to the States, and first he'd been here to be in college and to learn, and being raised on the mission field and being taught by his mother and in his schooling, how that you were such an inspiration to him to find a good group of believers that loved the Lord, and he was able to continue growing in his walk and his love for the Lord. We have walked with the Lord now since 1961. Virginia here is my sweetie for 62 years, and we are thankful for the Lord convening into our just being church attenders. And I played the organ in church, young people's leader, and just a religious sinner, didn't know Christ as my Savior. Virginia had walked with the Lord in her younger teenage years, and she knew what it was to walk with God And then when she turned herself back to the Lord after walking away from him in her young years, well, I saw the change. And I was 28 years old at that time, and we had five little children sitting beside us. And Reverend Maurice Stevens came to our little town of Buchanan, Michigan, and he was evangelizing, and he preached, and I turned my life to Christ. And so after that, and that was in 1961, 1965, he invited Virginia and I to go to Haiti with him and another group of 30-some pastors and laymen to go and to minister in Haiti. God put on our hearts a desire to do mission work. And we didn't know how, but we knew we was burdened and for souls. And back then it was hard to find gospel tracts to give out. And we kept contacting the leaders if there would be tracts in the Spanish, or this would be the French in Haiti, and the Creole. And they said they'd be provided, but there were none. When we got to Miami to fly, they said there are no tracts. And so anyway, when we got to Haiti, me and Virginia and another couple from Ohio was not able to get into the room where our group was to go and to be there. And they took us down to another motel or hotel there in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And the next morning, of course, we prayed for God to give us tracts. We knew we couldn't talk to the people in their language. Next morning, we got up, and sitting at our door outside was a box of gospel tracts, 3,000 tracts of Four Things God Wants You to Know, and I think it was 1,500 of another tract. And so God started more providing miracles in our lives. If I shared with you all of the things that God has done and is doing throughout the years, it would just take us 45 years to tell all of it, because our lives have seen a continual walk of victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Souls being saved, the Holy Spirit teaching us, and we had no one to teach us. And I can remember sitting down in the little old farmhouse after I turned my life to Christ that next day, and I read in the Scriptures, Romans 8:14, and I said to her, I said, is it possible for God to lead little old human beings like us? I read, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I said, is it possible for God to lead little old just human beings, the creator of this universe? She said, what'd you say?
Well, it sounds like it.
She also said, it beats me. It sounds... She said, it beats me, it sounds like it. And so
we found out too.
Oh yes. Oh yes. And so it wasn't long after that, and I was farming and working nice in the factory, and had a nice herd of Black Angus cattle, planning someday to have my own farm instead of all the sharecropping and living on my granddad's old home place. And I kept feeling, when I was farming a neighbor's farm up across the fields from us, and there was a neighbor that lived down across a little dirt road from the field I was doing. This was just shortly after I had read Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. And I prayed, Lord, teach me. You know, God wants to teach us, and let that teaching be a roots and a basis and an inspiration for us to go on in our lives, and for it to become stronger and stronger and stronger as he confirms in our spirits his love, his peace, his joy in the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, I was plowing this field up there across from Shorty's house, and he lived across a little dirt road right up there. And I worked all night in the factory. You know, see, I was, what's the profit of man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Well, that's where I was at. I just played the organ in the church, young people's leader, and a religious sinner. Didn't know Christ as Lord of my life. Well, I was in the process of learning to walk with God now that I'd turned to Christ and been changed. And I kept feeling, when I'd be plowing the field, go over and talk to Shorty about his soul. I didn't know Shorty hardly at all. We used to go up as kids and get a key for his boats down on Madron Lake that was down clear down to the end of the field I was plowing. He'd have boats, we'd go fishing early in the morning, bring back the key to him. That's all I knew about Shorty. And but I'd be busy. Oh, I got to get this field plowed. And then I got to get the corn planted. I got to get it cultivated. I got to get it harvested. It's going to snow, you know. Every time I'd be up there, I kept feeling in here, go talk to Shorty. Well, the next thing I knew, I heard Shorty went down to the lake, got in one of his boats, went out in Madron Lake, and put a boat anchor on his foot and drowned himself. And I thought, oh, that was God speaking to my heart to talk to him. The way I really knew it is I found out that that spring he had been in a car accident and his wife had died in that accident. I knew nothing about it. And so God was trying to get me to go to speak to Shorty and about his soul. And that, oh, I squalled and bawled from the very depths of my spirit before God. And I promised God, if you ever, I didn't know, we had nobody to go to teach us about walking in the Spirit and the leading of the Lord. And we had no one, and the Lord was starting to teach us. And I thought, that unction in there was God speaking to me to go. And, you know, he says that he will cleanse our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God, he tells us in Hebrews 4. And so anyway, I promised the Lord, I will go whenever that you speak to my heart. Well, the next spring then, I was back in the field of my granddad's plowing, and Virginia came back with her Bible. She said, I've been praying, and God's been speaking to me to go to speak to Ferris Wallace. He's in the hospital. I pulled the plows out of the ground instantly because I promised the Lord, if you ever speak to my heart. I didn't know if he would, but if you ever, because of my disobedience, I felt it was disobedience, but he was teaching me. And so God speaks of the Holy Spirit being our teacher. And this is what I want to put in your hearts tonight. I want to put roots down deep in your spirits. I want you to get a hold of things that will get you at this time and on down through your life to give you roots in the Word, roots in your walk, roots in the unction of the Holy Spirit to walk in His love and in His guidance, in His unction, so that you got that unction in there and it isn't us going on our own self-efforts and so on. But I'm just sharing with you, I promised the Lord, I will go instantly. Because he says, seek ye in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I read that. And that's a verse of scripture along with Romans 8:14 that's been a roots in our lives. And he says in Matthew in 6:33, he says, Jesus speaks unto us, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I was learning to do the things of God first. Before I always was concerned about getting all of the work done, the hay, all the fields and fields of hay, the custom farmer, farming 500 acres, doing custom farm work, working nights in the factory, raising a family. And so I was a little busy. But anyway, the Lord says, seek ye first. Seek ye first. And so I promised the Lord, I will go first immediately when you speak to my heart if you do again. Well, when she told me that, I pulled them plows out of the ground instantly, went to the and put the tractor away, got ready, and went to the hospital. And the man that she had been praying for, Ferris Wallace, he plowed gardens around our little town there, and he was getting better and in the hospital. He said, I'm getting out in a few days. He said, I'll just tell you what I'll tell. I told him, God sent us to talk to you about your soul. He said, I'll just tell old St. Peter when I get up there that he didn't have good enough salesmen down here. Ooh, that cut my heart. I knew God had sent us. I knew God had sent us. I had a word of prayer with him by his consent. Just prayed with him that he'd seek the Lord. He went home, and in a few days, his wife heard the pound of his body on the living room floor. He was dead as a doornail. But there was no guilt in here because we had gone and warned him. There was no guilt because we had done our part. God says that if we don't warn the wicked, that we're responsible for their blood. But if we warn them, then we're free from them. And so we were learning. Mm-hmm. We were learning. Put God first, to seek God first. And so anyway, Reverend Stevens, as I spoke of, that he was here, the evangelist, when I turned my life to Christ, and he invited us to go to Haiti in 1966. And we went to Haiti. and there wasn't any tracks, like we said, but the Lord provided them for us, and we saw the hand of the Lord in that. And the young man named Eze was the pastor of one little church. He was the interpreter for our group. Every time he wasn't interpreting for the group, we'd have him down on a street corner under a shade tree there, preaching the gospel, winning souls to Jesus. And so we would minister to the people and win souls. And his little church started growing and increasing. And so we got invited by him to come back again, and we went back. And his ministry started growing. He saw our love for the people. And his church started growing until he had 200 churches with 43,000 children in the schools. And God just gave us helpers to show us how to go about doing that ministry. Now, when I say there was schools, there was churches there, there was teachers in the schools, there was blackboards, there was seats, there was a building built, ground gotten, a pastor was gotten, and the money to pay him for his work, the teacher for his work, and then the pastor would need a house, and we'd buy ground and get him a house, then he would need a garden, we get ground, and he'd need a goat, and he could breed the goat, and it would be, if it was a male, he could eat it, female, he would give it to another pastor, and the ministry just started growing like that and increasing. I was working nights in the factory. We were only going to mission field for about 10 days a year at that time. When I'd get a couple weeks off, we'd go to the mission field and go and share. We went to Haiti 24 different years. And then we started going with Rodney's mother and husband, and Rodney then as he came along, and we've been with them, and now we're just ready to go for our 17th time to the Dominican Republic and to be there and work there and minister and share the gospel and do ministry work. And so we've built churches and irrigation projects, anything. God's given us the gift of helps, whatever there is to do. We always ask, it's interesting how the Lord starts teaching us to obey him. And he put in my heart to, what should we do when we get to the mission field? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you always follow what I have put into the heart of the ones that the leader, the one that's the pastor or whatever that's there. Well, then when we started working with our daughter and son-in-law, I asked the Lord, well, how do I work with them? They're our family. And the Lord said, do the same thing. I've called them there to go and to be ministers there in that country where they're at. And so we went to Costa Rica and Guatemala, El Salvador, and all the Central American countries, and built churches and done lots of ministry. And the Lord has just performed beautiful miracles all the way. I'd like to have Virginia share for a moment whatever would be in her heart. We've gone together every time, and we've been on the mission field for 45 years every year. Yep, go ahead.
I call this the yellow van, and I love this story because it involved me more than just my husband. we were... a lot of times I'm a follow along, you know. Where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. So anyway, we were praying, and it's a long story, but I won't tell it all. We met this other couple that wanted to be missionaries, and they had come to our church there at South Bend, Indiana, Brother Lester Summerall's church that we were going to at that time. We were elders there for over 20 years. But they came to the church, and they wanted to know about going on the mission field. Well, nobody was going, and they didn't hear anything about a mission field until my husband got up and spoke at the altar call. And they come running down and said, can we go with you? So we were planning together to go to Haiti. And so 6 weeks before we were going to travel, I was praying about going to Haiti, what we should teach and all of the details of taking others with you that had never been out of the country. There's a lot of teaching what you have to do to take them. So I was praying about going to Haiti, and we'd been there many times ourselves. And the Lord spoke to my heart right in the middle of my prayer, and he said, you won't be going to Haiti, you'll be going to Nicaragua. And I said, Nicaragua? I'd never been to Nicaragua. And so he says, that's where you'll be going. And I said, well, okay, if this is you, God, you work it out, and we will go wherever you tell us. But right now, we're all planning on going to Haiti, so you wear the same clothes that you go to Haiti as you would to Nicaragua. It's all light, you know, for hot weather. And so I just kept packing and getting things around. And we called about our tickets. And she says, oh, they're having riots in Haiti. I didn't know it. And she said, our planes are not flying. So I can't give you a ticket to go to Haiti. I said, oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. I said, okay, now how do we go to Nicaragua? And and I said, we knew Bob that had worked with us in Costa Rica with Tim and Trina and us, and we'd done ministry, evangelism, and everything. We'd done a lot of stuff with Bob. And Bob had moved to Nicaragua. And I said, uh-huh. I wonder if Bob needs four helpers. So we called Bob up in Nicaragua, and we said, there's four of us that we're going to go to Haiti, but we feel God's changing our course. Do you need anybody in Nicaragua to help you with what you're doing? He said, I sure could use you. Come ahead. Oh, great. So we went ahead and went to Nicaragua. Well, we got there, and we did a bunch of projects, and we had a couple, three more days left that we could work before we had to fly back home. And he said, there is a young pastor that the roof keeps blowing off of his church, and it's only got, it was like a brush arbor type of thing. It's got, what do you call it?
The uprights.
Uprights. Oh, okay. holding up the roof, and it doesn't have anything enclosed, and the wind comes through and gets on their hymn books, and they can't leave anything in the church because it's wide open. He needs the side of his church built all in and his roof anchored down. We said, oh, yeah, that'd be great. So we went, we all got into the yellow van that Bob owned, and we went over to this pastor's house. And they'd never seen Bob's yellow van. They hadn't had any actual, he didn't go to their house or anything, so they didn't know anything about that. But as soon as he went to the door and started talking to the pastor's wife, she started crying. She cried and cried and cried all the way through the conversation. We told her that we had come to build in her church. And so we went ahead and done that. We didn't know why she cried. We just thought she was thankful. Well, it was more than that. And so we got all done building in the church and getting everything all finished. And at the dedication, he had still had nails in his mouth, and he was out pounding on the side of the church, getting things finished up by the trim and all. And they started playing the music for the dedication service at the church. And so we went on inside. And we told Bob, interpret for us, because we don't understand Spanish, and they just talk, talk, talk. We don't know what they're saying. And so this lady, the pastor's wife, got up in front of the church, and she says, now you remember that 6 weeks ago I told you God gave me a vision and that some foreigners in a yellow van were going to come and build in our church. Now, you remember that? And they said, yeah, we remember you said that. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord. You were working on our end, and you were working on her end, and brought us together, and we got that church built. And she was just so happy, and I found out why she was crying, that God was answering her prayer with us foreigners coming. I said, foreigners? I guess we are foreigners. So that was something so special to me that the Lord told me that. And but I had to check out and make sure it really was him, because I don't want to go off in left field. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else?
Okay. We'll catch you a little later.
Later.
It's later now.
It's later. Anywhere, whatever he has that it comes into his heart, we've learned to pay attention to each other and pray things through and follow the Lord together. He never divides us. He always lets us work in harmony. And if I get something like this, we'll pray it through, and he'll follow with whatever God showed up me. And when he has something that comes into his heart when he's praying, I follow whatever God's showing him. And so that is something real good. I don't put on my brakes and squall all the way to something or other. We just blend together.
Yes.
And our love, he tells me every day how much he loves me.
Amen.
Now, you men, you may say, well, I told her that when I married her. Yeah, that's not good enough. you want to take her and say, oh, I just love you so much.
Yes.
Amen. Glory.
And you do that. And you do that to each other every day, and you can live together and in happy, wonderful peace and harmony and everything for 62 years like we do.
And I ask her, how long is it we've been married?
Not long enough.
So the Lord's been good to us, and the miracles that God has done through the years and continually. We walk in miracles, but we don't do that any more than for every one of us. It's for every one of us.
Yes.
It's for every one of us to have a marriage that is filled with God's love and filled with love one for another, because marriage is God's relationship, man with woman, to bring forth our families, and our families are then that relationship to be an encouragement to us, and especially then as we get on in our older years, family is such an encouragement to one another, like our being able to come and be with Rodney. Mm-hmm. Last night we were with another grandson up here in Cincinnati that is there, he and his wife, and we stayed last night and ate with them and stayed with them. And we live back up in Michigan, and they're up here in Cincinnati, and Rodney's down here, and we're going to Dominican Republic next week. And our one son's down in South America, clear down to the far end of it. But God just does wonderful things in our lives and supports us. So as I was sharing, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's all part of our walk with God. We were singing tonight up there, prepare me, I want to walk in holiness, make me ready to do your will. But not just ready, do it. Do his will. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick and you came unto me. He tells us, and whenever it comes to your mind, you know the Holy Spirit speaks to our conscience. When he says that he cleanses us from our sins, he tells us that in Hebrews, he says that he cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And he speaks through our conscience. Listen to your conscience. When we lived in sin, our conscience would tell us not to do something. And if we did that we was told not to in our conscience, it would be registered in our conscience what we call guilt. And then when we'd hear the word of God, those things would jump up at us that was guilt. And oh, I want to live in the sin, you know, that all old life that the devil puts on us in the old life. But God wants us to let his newness, the old things passing away. Behold, all things becoming new in Christ Jesus. And then God speaks through our conscience, tells us in Hebrews. He speaks to our conscience from dead works, the dead works we used to do. Now he uses our conscience that's cleansed by the blood of Jesus, repentance from sin, turning from it, being set free from it. Don't walk in sin. Don't let the devil put it on you. In Ephesians, he tells us, he said, "Brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And then he says, put on the full armor of God. And he tells us, take the word of God by which you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We need to walk in a victorious overcoming in Christ. And when a temptation would start to come, we must let the Lord make us so sensitive in here that we'll sense the devil putting a word or a lust or whatever it might be coming towards us, where you will quench the fiery darts, that the devil tries to bring. And then you say, get ye behind me, Satan, just like Jesus did. Get you behind me, Satan, and take authority over him. For it is written, we shall serve the Lord thy God, and only him shall we serve. So we don't walk in the things of the devil. Don't let him mess up our lives. Get free from that. Let repentance and let forgiveness and the blood of Christ and victory in the Lord come, and that you walk in the victory and the overcoming of the Lord. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's a real encouragement to me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not part, all. What is it you don't understand about all? All is all, period. That's it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. We do nothing, but what do?
We pray.
We pray. That's trusting in the Lord. That's acknowledging him.
And we don't pray our will. We pray what God's will is.
Amen. Amen. So he says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And then he says, the next verse, be not wise in your own eyes. That means looking at a situation, looking at anything for the whole day, no matter what it is, everything, continually. Seek ye first the Lord. He says, pray without ceasing. Let our spirits be open to the Lord and praying without ceasing. And then he says, be not wise in thine own eyes. That means we think we can look at something and we know how to do it. Oh, I know how to do that. I'll just go ahead and... No. Right there, you've already stumbled. You've already given the devil a place when you trust in the Lord with your own eyes. Because he says then, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's evil to think we know how to do something. That's not walking with God. That's not trusting in him. That's not letting him guide our lives and direct it. And if you want to walk with God in victory, and he says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We're singing about holiness, wanting to be holy. Beautiful, beautiful words, an unction of the Spirit of the Lord in the words that we're singing here tonight. And just beautiful. And that's so important to desire holiness and purity in the Lord. And don't think we can do it. Let me tell you about something that I thought I knew how to do, okay? We started working in Haiti. We worked with Isaiah for about 15 years. And like I said, his churches and ministry grew. And then we gave him over to another group that wanted to take over his ministry. Okay, do you want to do that, Isaiah? We prayed, and he said, yes, he would like to. We'd introduce them to that group up in Ohio. And they wanted to take over his group. And so we let him do that. And then we started with another pastor. Well, it went on for a couple, 3 years, and after we got finished with the pastor's conference 1 year with our second pastor that I'm speaking about now, I told Pastor Vixma, I said, I'd like to go back to Isaiah's and visit him after our church service today, go out to Kwadi Boké, out the other side of Port-au-Prince, there in Haiti. And he said, okay, after church, I'll take you out there. Okay, we went out there. Well, when we got there, he was just dedicating. It was 3 in the afternoon. The church service was, the whole big building was packed. It was a brand new building. He'd built a whole new big cathedral over the top of the other one and tore the other one out, which was a big, big building. And he was dedicating it. The mayor was there and all the chief police and everybody was there. So anyway, we just, well, what's the service going on for now? Well, he was dedicating that. So we walked in, sat down, and here comes Isaiah. He says, "You've been mentioned several times in this service." I said, "Oh, really?" He said, "Well, you're the roots of this." I said, "Well, probably so. The Lord, though, is the one." So, but anyway, he said, "We got a special speaker." But he said, "You come up," and he says, "I want to give you 5 to 10 minutes. And I said, "Oh, okay, thank you. I'll be glad to do that." Well, I found that it was always important to have a message prepared in my heart whenever, so that I'd have something to share from God's Word. So I went up and shared about 7, 8 minutes, something like that. And I can remember I shared about, "He that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not worthy of the kingdom of God." And in the midst of it, we always did things that the people loved. And I fell backwards off of the pulpit, off the stage where the pulpit was, intentionally. And, you know, just putting your hand to the plow and you walk backwards, you fall off, you know. I mean, God says, you know, that. And so I shared that. And so when I got finished, Isaiah gave an altar call. Well, that whole big cathedral was just lined with several deep, the whole length of it, with people praying and seeking God. So we got done, he got done praying with the people, and I said, and Isaiah started to dismiss him. And I said, "Isaiah, the special speaker, he said everything said that needs to be said." I said, "Oh, okay." So we got on our way going back to the mission house where we were at, and I got to thinking, I was on the back of the truck, and I got thinking, well, now, wait a minute. If you can speak 5 or 8 minutes and get such good results, what use in having a big, long church service? You know, I mean, might just as well have it quick and get it done with, you know. Well, the Lord spoke to my heart, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and I says, "Yes, Lord." He says, "I want to talk to you about something." Okay. And he says, "Let me ask you something. When you plant your garden, do you plant all the seeds the same depth?" And I said, "No, I plant the corn and the beans down deep, and we put in the lettuce and the radishes and you know, little seeds up high and just stir it in." He says, "You let me decide how long the church service is going to be." I said, "Lord, I give. I give." And he rebuked me for thinking, even, you know, this short church service, me deciding how long it's going to be. That's wonderful when the Holy Spirit guides and directs and unctions you and teaches you. Oh, wow, that's fun. That's enjoyable. And so that's the Lord, that he's out to teach us all. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. Our word speaks of the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by, that means he teaches us. And he speaks of us being our teacher. And so he will teach us. And so we've just had hundreds and hundreds of things that the Lord just does continually in miracles that he has and is in the midst of at this very moment of doing. And so anyway, be not wise in our own eyes. That was me. I was being wise in my own eyes, thinking I knew how long and to make a service, you know. But the Lord spoke to me, and because he said then in Proverbs 3:7, he says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil," from the evil of thinking we know how to do it. Because he tells us this right after, saying, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path." And so it's fun. We have an excellent, fun time walking with the Lord. It's just exciting. And if you think the devil can bring you things that he'll try to tell you, "Oh, you're gonna have to give up all this fun you're doing in the life of sin and sneaking off into whatever it might be," and nobody knows, God knows. He sees in the closet as well as in the nighttime as well as the daytime. And so anyway, it's fun to go for the Lord and just see the things he's going to do. And the way you find out is step out. Just step out. If you're feeling to go to missions or whatever, get your passport. And then let God, if he wants you to use it, okay, or whatever. But do what you can, and then he'll just do the rest that he wants to do. But we need to do our part and make our way so that we can do whatever he calls us to do. So it's exciting. And so we find in Romans 8:28, he tells us all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Am I talking too long? Well, probably. But anyway, I haven't talked 40 years yet, 45 years too yet. But anyway, so he says, and I know that you have maybe even memorized this verse of scripture, of that all things work together for good unto those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so we learn to count on that whatever comes, whatever happens, the worst things that come to us, the better it is on the other side. The better things he's got coming on the other side of that thing that comes to us. And you get to where you get excited when something comes to you that's bad and negative. And if I shared with you some of the things of on and on that the devil has brought on, but the Lord has delivered from, in casting out demons and setting people free from demon control, and on that we've been privileged to be involved with in just helping people love the Lord. But several years ago, the campground was slow in income. We pay for our own ways. We take money with us to pay for the pastor's conference, for the pastor's food, for the transportation from the pastor's conference, for the hundreds that come to the conference and so on. But we pay for it because we don't pay for it. God gives us the money. Last spring, when we came back home the last of March from the Dominican Republic, we had about enough money to just put some bread on the table. We've had to sell our souvenirs on the way driving back from Florida to sell the souvenirs we was going to bring back to Michigan and sell to the people in the church from Haiti to have money to give back to the missions. And we ran out of gas. And so we ended up having to sell souvenirs with no money for gas. And as long as we got some money to put some bread on the table. But the Lord tells us, lay up treasures in heaven. Not on earth where rust, thieves break through and steal, rust and moths eat and decay. He tells us, lay up treasures in heaven. And build your lives not on what the world does in the things of, oh, get ready, save a lot of money, be ready for your retirement, and you people got their 401s wiped out almost already. A lot of them, maybe you know more about that than me, because we didn't have any. But anyway, that's okay. We got our treasures laid up in heaven. But we would always go and have money to pay for the construction work, and it'd be thousands that we would use building churches and wells and whatever it would be. But anyhow, the Lord would supply. He's resupplied us this summer so that we can go back again. We got our airplane tickets, and we're ready to go back again. The Lord supplied for us again this summer. But back several years ago, it was a real short time as far as income from our campground. And if I shared with you about how God led us to get the campground and all the miracles that's taken place in that, we would just be here for several more services. But anyway, we didn't have, it was along in September, and I told the Lord, we don't have money for materials. We got money for airplane tickets, but to go to the mission field, the missionaries don't have money to buy materials, so we got to take the money with us. And that was Costa Rica. Yep, it was, I remember. So anyway, I had earlier that summer bought a new lawnmower, riding lawnmower from Dynamart down in Tennessee, Jackson, Tennessee. And anyway, it's where it came from. They built it there in the factory. But I bought it at my dealer up there, and I was mulching leaves. After I had prayed along in September, first September, then along in October, I'm mulching leaves. We got 21 acres. We got lots of woods. We mulch all the leaves on all of it and so on. But anyway, leaves got up on the muffler of that new mower and burned it up. Well, I emptied 5 fire extinguishers on it. She hauled them down to me out of the campground, and I got filled up with that smoke and everything. We called the fire department. They had to come and put it out. Well, when that fire truck is driving away, the exact thing I did is we walked away. What did I say?
This one's for you.
Yep. This one's for you, Lord. No way can I see Romans 8:28. All things, my new lawnmower burning up, working out for good. Are you kidding? Lord. Now, when you just that's you taking your hands off and letting God have His hands on it. Because then really, I couldn't see in the natural. There's no way I could see it. Okay. So we I called the dealer up there in Niles, Michigan, and he said, I'll call the manufacturer. He said, the muffler's down low where the leaves could get on it. I'll call him and tell him. And so Denny called down to the customer service in Jackson, Tennessee. And then Denny called me back. He said, the guy at the factory customer service said, you can't let leaves get on it. You got to keep it clean. Turn it into your insurance. I said, well, that's fine, except there's another $300 of the deductible is gone. And so my lawnmower's gone. So anyway, we worked all fall mulching leaves with another mower we had and so on. And it came the day before that we were going to leave to drive our little old 72 motor home to Miami, loaded with tracks and supplies for going to mission field. And the day before, here came my check from the insurance company of $1,600. So I went in the office and told Virginia, I said, the Lord burned up our lawnmower. And what'd you say?
Well, he didn't burn it up, but he can use it for good.
So anyway, I said,
if he burned it up or not. It got burned up and he used it. That's good enough for me.
I know she told me, she said, the Lord didn't burn up our lawnmower. Well, anyway, so I remember better than she, maybe. That's what I remember. Anyway, so the next morning, we're leaving that afternoon. We're packed, we're loaded, we're ready to drive out of the driveway in a couple hours. And I prayed that morning, and the Lord ministered my heart, call Bill down in Jacksonville, Tennessee. Because Denny gave me his number, and he said, Bill said if you're not happy with their answer by... Or Denny said, if you're not happy with their answer, call them. And I says, well, if that's what he says, that's what he says. That turn it into my insurance, which I did. And so, but the next morning before we leave, that's long 1st December, I felt in my spirit, call the Bill down in at the customer service. And so I called him in obedience to the Lord. And I said to him, I'm up, the one up in Niles, Michigan, my lawnmower burned up, mulching leaves. He said, well, I remember that. And I said, well, I'm sure you've had lots more of them. He says, yours is the only one. I said, really? And so then he said, well, what are you calling for? And I said, well, I didn't feel to tell him that the Lord, you know, put on my heart to call him. I just said, well, I had an idea of putting a guard over the muffler, you know, and like that. He says, what are you really calling for? And the Spirit of the Lord put in my heart, do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. And so I said, I got along without it all fall. I said, I turned it into my insurance company. I got my check yesterday for it. And we're leaving today to go to the mission field. But I said, best thing I know, I said, is do unto others. And I quoted that verse of scripture. I didn't feel to tell him that God told me to call him, which he did. But I said, do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. And he paused. He said, let me call you back in a minute. I said, okay. He called me back, and he said, I've called Denny up there. You're at your company service area there. And I told him to bring you a new lawnmower. I said, well, now, wait a minute. What's this going to cost me? He said, nothing. I'm giving you a new lawnmower. And I said, well, that's more. That's too good to, you know, to have happened. You're doing too much. And he said, no, I'm told him to bring you a new lawnmower. A half hour later, he drove in with a new lawnmower and picked up the old one and said, Bill said he would pick up that old burnt up when he came up because they'd had a little trouble with the rear end. But anyway, so here we got the new lawnmower. Well, we got driving down across Indiana in a little motor home, and I'm thinking, now I got $1,600 in my pocket here, and I got a new lawnmower sitting in the shed. Something's wrong with this picture. And so we prayed, and the Lord put on our hearts to keep it, you know, go on to the mission field. But in the spring, when the insurance agent come, which he'd always come and check over, make sure everything's safe throughout the campground, tell him about the lawnmower burning up, which he knew because he turned it in, but tell him then about that you're willing to pay back the company because you got it replaced, the lawnmower replaced. with a new one from the dealer. And so when John DeVries came from the insurance company, he always wanted to know what happened in the mission field this year. And we'd always share the excitement that things got it done. So we shared him about it. He said, well, you know, our lawnmower burned up and we got our check just for leaving, and shared with him like we've talked to you. Well, when we got to Costa Rica, all the refugees were coming out of Nicaragua. They were making it out of the forest, out away from the war of the Contras and Sandinistas, coming over into Nicaragua, into Costa Rica, and San Jose, the city capital there. And the U.S. had a recovery center. We'd go in there, be young guys with their legs blown off and stuff, but we'd share the gospel and so on with Tim and Trina, Rodney's mom and dad, and we'd go in there and share the gospel and preach and win souls to the Lord that were there from, but there were a lot of refugees, which one was a pastor and his 9 children and his wife fled out of the country, out of Nicaragua, got across the river into Costa Rica, and had gotten an old 2-story house and was bringing the refugees into his house, built a little stoop on the back, put some benches there, and he'd go down under the bridges and off the park benches and gather up the refugees that had to come and register and be there 3-4 days. He'd bring them back and put them in his little old house there and preach to them every night. And so when we got there, I said to Tim, I told him about our lawnmower burning up and we had this 1600. What do you see God needs to do while we're here? And Tim said, well, Pastor Augustine needs a telephone so he can call the refugee camps when we have dentists and doctors and such coming and let them know and prepare for their coming to the refugee camp. So $300, we was able to take a line in and put in a telephone for him. But then we find that his children are all getting sick. 9 little kids, beautiful little kids. They're getting sick from all these refugees coming out of the jungles and over the rivers and so on and living right in their house with them. They bought a piece of ground out in a little village, Cariati, west of the capital, and bought a little piece of ground there so he could build a house there. Well, what needs to be done? Well, let's see if we could build a house there. We ended up with that $1,600, built them one of the most beautiful houses, put in a cement floor, built 3-tier high for their beds, bunk beds, built a kitchen sink and place counters and a table and chairs. Now, all most beautiful wood I'd ever worked with, beautiful red mahogany, just beautiful. And we did it all with that $1,600. Well, we're standing down there. Pastor Augustine invited Virginia and I and Gary and Barbara Hayes that was with us from Peoria, Illinois, that helped us do that, and invited us down to their house, down to his house where that he brings in the refugees and give us a going away time of thankfulness for building their house out there. So we're there and we're telling them about how God burned up our lawnmower. And that's how we got the money to build them a house and to bring them in a telephone, you know. And the little kids there, just Rodney's mom is interpreting for us, you know, there. And little kids are weeping there, being blessed to the Lord. So anyway, we come back and go back to Niles, and the insurance agent comes, and we tell John DeVries about how that we was able to do the things that I've just shared with you. But I said, we want to pay back the insurance company because the factory gave us a new lawnmower, and it's out there in the shed, and we want to pay them back. So I said, you talk to the insurance about how we can do that. A couple days later, John DeVries called us back. He said, the company said, your lawnmower burned up, and we did what we said that we would do. We replaced your lawnmower burning up. If the company wants to give you a new lawnmower, that's their problem. That was it. Now that was the Lord, this is yours. This is yours. When we take our hands off and there's no way of seeing the other side, this is yours. Do it. Just do it. Give it to the Lord, all things. That's walking in faith when we can't see the other side. It's just plain exciting to walk with the Lord and let His love and His peace and His joy be filled in our hearts. So I encourage you young people to just give a new unction of the Lord, let Him just take over your lives completely. Open up your hearts. Empty them out from anything of self-efforts and cares and concerns. And just let the Lord have your lives. So it's exciting to walk with the Lord. And that's not just for one or two people like as we have, but it's for everyone. Every single one of us. His word is for every single one of us. And so I just encourage you to just put the Lord to a challenge. He loves to be challenged. He loves to be challenged with hard, difficult things, and we take our hands off. So I'll just give you one verse of Scripture in Acts. I think it's 26:18, if I'm not mistaken, here. Paul is speaking. 26:18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Turning people from the power of Satan to God. It's exciting to see people set free and rejoicing in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I see there's many of you lifting your hands and just a joyful love for the Lord. And so I just encourage you, keep on pressing in and putting yourself forward in His love and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. God bless, Pastor. Down there.
You can just keep that on if you like. I had shared with that we are officially going to call them Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh, yes.
They gave me permission to call them that, so you can just refer to them as Grandma and Grandpa.
That's
if
right.
You like.
Yes.
We've been together for some of us for almost 40 years now. And in this time, we've planted 3 churches here, and we've partnered with Pedro Basilio, and we've done it much the same way you did. We said, Lord, how would you have us serve him?
Mm-hmm.
And we just went down, and we've really been helps to him. But a lot of us are getting to a stage in life where it's really different. Our children are raised, and they're on their own, and so we're entering into a new phase of life.
Mm-hmm.
And Susan Vogel is coordinating a meeting that we're going to have for everyone in the church over 50. We're moving toward that next stage of life.
Oh yes.
And so we had them pray over all of the kids, and something we have never done here is to pray for all of the folks that are over 50.
Ooh, glory.
So I wanted to ask them if they would pray over anybody who's willing to admit they're over 50 years old. But specifically, Janet, settle down. She was up, ready to come. But we've got a lot of great years left ahead of us. And we could waste them on...
Mm.
Lots of trips to places that are nothing but sightseeing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We could all go buy our, whatever, and ride around in it or enjoy it or eat it or whatever you would buy.
Yeah, that's right.
Or we can divest ourselves in these final years.
Yes.
And when we stand before the Lord, we'll have the great joy of knowing rather than consuming what we, I love capitalism, I love the ability to produce because we get to use it for what we want. And I want so much to invest my next 30 years in something that's eternal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And so we're really praying about that, seeing how we do that. And, what a great example these guys have been. So if you're over 50 years old and you'd like, I think we just pray over you, that God can give you wisdom and just in your heart open you up to see how... Rather than, get, going and petrifying in some old folks' home, really be involved in the things that God's calling you to do.
Yes.
The other thing we know that's true, and you really can't pray about this, but we know that there's going to be some of us that, as you get older, it seems like a lot of people are really blessed with health, and you know, they can be 80 years old and still just, I mean, wear you out trying to keep up with them. But then there's others that have to be cared for.
Mm-hmm.
And we just as a body are trying to figure out how all that's going to work. So we're really excited about it these next years. So just all of that we're praying about, and you all have shown up at just the right time. So if you're over 50 years old and you'd like to be prayed for the next phase, I want to invite you to come on down and just let them pray over us as a group. That's not Bob Trolese by any chance, is it? Down in Nicaragua?
No.
Okay. No. Bob Kelly.
Bob Kelly. I've got a friend, Bob Trolese, down
okay.
there.
Okay.
I thought that might be him. So if you're willing to admit it, come on up. If you're close to 50, you want to sneak in, that's fine too. So. If you feel 50.
Oh, there.
Well, 50-year-old is 30 years young. You're just young folks looking from our perspective. You're just young. You got a lot going. I got a pacemaker and defibrillator sitting in here. She's had her pancreas removed. She's full diabetic. And that's been about
seven years.
7 years ago. Mine's been 14 years ago. I still work every day, all day. I was up till 1:30 in the morning two nights ago, 12:30 the night before that, working, getting things around for the wintering on the campground. That's the way we work all day, all night. And she also. And so it's just putting the Lord first and letting Him. Be strong in the Lord. Brethren, first of all, He tells us in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not ours. We don't got any. We haven't got any, but in His might. So we just cast our care on Him, trusting Him for that. So we got some more coming here.
That's the worship team. They're
going to
lead us.
Okay. 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 Very good. Let us bow our heads before the Lord.